This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. A lot of people know my guests as the group that re-recorded the song La Bamba for the 1987 movie biography of Ritchie Valens. Los Lobos is a Chicano band from East L.A. whose sound draws from rock and roll, Tex-Mex, and traditional Mexican music. My guests are Los Lobos' chief songwriters, David Hidalgo and Luis Perez. Hidalgo also sings, plays guitar, accordion, and percussion. Perez plays drums and guitar. Los Lobos' 1988 album, La Pistola y el Corazón, featured their interpretations of traditional Mexican songs. Their new album returns to rock with a Mexican tinge. From the new album, The Neighborhood, this is Be Still. David Hidalgo, welcome to Fresh Air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wondering what effect the Mexican album you did a couple of years ago has had on your playing and composing.
Oh, gee, I think it's had a great deal of influence. We started off playing that sort of music exclusively for almost 10 years, and it was after the rock records, after the big hit, La Bamba.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, everybody
Let's
remembers.
Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was, getting back to that stuff was really refreshing, and I think it was real important for us to get back into the old, playing those folk instruments and playing that sort of music. So when we came time to, sitting down and writing material for the next record, it did have a lot of influence on our recording approach, on our writing, instrumentally, we had an excuse for getting all the broken stuff out of the closets and fixing them, so we were able to use a lot of those things on our...
The broken instruments.
Yeah.
Be Still, which we just heard, is, I think, the most Mexican-influenced track on the record. Is it hard to bring elements of Mexican music and rock and roll together in one piece?
Yeah. It's something David and I always wanted to do, but... stayed away from it only because we'd never really had the right handle on it, or because so many attempts have been made that we've felt that we're not really that successful. That they always seem to come off a little, as novelty songs or something, where an English lyric is sung with a Mexican rhythm, or different elements, brought together. So. David experimented with the huapango, which is a traditional Mexican rhythm, and mixed that with a rock type approach to it, and then the lyric having a more, if you will, a serious sort of theme to it. It just all fit perfect for us, so it was an experiment that worked out. That might just be the beginning of a direction that we might want to explore.
David, was this new for you to combine Mexican and rock and roll music together in one song?
Yeah, like Lou was saying, it's something we've thought about for quite a while, but we were never able to do it successfully. This is the first time that it actually worked.
Was there ever time you felt you had to keep the Mexican music out of your music, out of your commercial music? The band's music.
No, I think what happened was after spending so many years just playing Mexican music, when we finally found ourselves back in the garage with all of our amps and guitars and drums and everything else in between, we started to mix it up. We sort of took the same approach some jukebox would have in South Texas. You know, it doesn't just play the music, doesn't think about categories or anything. So we started mixing it up, and then once we got some headway with the audiences locally in the clubs and the local music critics, that when we finally came to, you know, signing the band, you know, they frankly didn't know what to do with us. You know, there was this strange band that played Mexican music and rock and roll. But Warner Brothers, our label, you know, decided to do the intelligent thing. Just leave us alone. Try not to find a any particular niche for us. Let us carve our own. And in doing so, you know, just left our music intact, which was a, you know, blend of traditional music and traditional American roots rock and roll. And then our writing kind of, you know, fell somewhere in between the two.
Just as your music is a mix of different styles, do you feel that your lives are a mix of different cultures too?
Living in Los Angeles, there's a lot of, you know, you're exposed to a lot of different cultures, and it's available there if you look for it. And so we've been influenced a lot of different things.
Do you still live in East LA?
Basically, yeah, in LA County.
Yeah,
a little further east than we used to live.
East of East LA.
Yeah.
What's the neighborhood like?
It's a place called Whittier. This little town that was founded about 100 years ago, and there's still a lot of these old homes standing. It has a real small town kind of feel to it.
Yes, and it sort of reminded me of the, you know, of, living in East LA in the before it became Ground Zero, you know.
Yeah.
It had that same old feel that I remember growing up, and with the corner stores and the, you know, church about two blocks away, and the little ladies watering the grass at 7 in the morning, and kids playing up and down the street. So that was something I wanted to kind of bring my family to, you know, have them experience that sort of thing, especially I've got small children growing up. And it's something I share with David here, because we've talked a lot about things like this. So we live about a mile away from each other, and we kind of have that same idea about the little town, that the real community type spirit that we're looking for in a neighborhood, and that's what this particular town has. And I'm working on trying to move my mom out of the old neighborhood, get her over by where we are, because the old neighborhood is going through another transition back to you know, it's you know, the decay is really starting to set in more permanently.
Were either of you in gangs when you were growing up?
We kind of stood on the outside. Yeah. Somehow we kind of knew, you know, we were musicians, right? And for some reason musicians were always had this you know, protective coating, and we went about and moved around a lot of different people and different types, and we're pretty much protected, because the strange thing being a musician was always like, you know, like you play a backyard party, the cops would always bust it, and you'd always be left alone because you were the guys who were playing the music, and usually you're the blame for the fact that the neighbors complained in the first place. I could never understand that, but we moved around and talked to a lot of different, you know, gang types that were our friends, you know, low riders, collegiate types, you know, all different types that lived in the community, and we were able to move freely about and get to know the different elements of choice, and we decided to stick it out and play rock and roll.
Well, the new record that you have is called The Neighborhood, and it's also the name of one of the songs on the record. Does that song have to do with what we've been talking about now, your feelings about the old neighborhood and your feelings about the new neighborhood that you've recently moved to?
Yeah, definitely. More directly than ever before, we're a lot of our songs were written in this narrative style that told a story of a particular thing that we emphasized to be on more on a universal base, so that we could talk about things that people could relate to, even though our direct experience was, you know, Mexican American, or you know, the struggles of you know, assimilating and homogenizing yourself to a different culture. and we took those themes and made them so that they can be interpreted by anyone else living in some kind of setting that is affected by social and economic pressures. But in this song directly, I think more than ever before, we're focusing on one particular thing, and that's the urban struggle, and the problems in the inner city with gangs and violence and drugs. And we took that song and we took one particular family and we took them apart to tell this story about people that are just living under that vice grip of the reality of living in that inner city.
Well, this is The Neighborhood. It was co-written by my guests Luis Perez and David Hidalgo. And David sings lead. Neighborhood from the new Los Lobos record. How did you both meet? You seem awfully close.
It was in the 10th grade at James A. Garfield High School in an art class. We'd prop up the easel table and just kind of, you know, BS all period long instead of doing our assignments. So that was the beginning of a long friendship that's been, I don't know, over almost 20 years now.
So you were both mm-hmm. playing instruments when you met?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of music were you playing on your own?
Gee, I guess it was kind of, I guess, blues-based rock, mostly, I guess. At that time, you know, playing in backyard parties and all this, it was, you'd do, I don't know, Allman Brothers or Savoy Brown or Fleetwood Mac covers.
Yeah, Blues and A.
Blues and A for an hour.
Yeah, pick a key and... gone forever.
Solo.
David, you play accordion among other instruments. Did you have trouble figuring out a way to fit the accordion into your music at all, especially the rock and roll aspects of the music?
It just seemed I think when the accordion came into the band, like the band changed around it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
How did it change?
Just the sound and the feel of the accordion, you know, more or less dictated to, you know, what the rest of the band was going to do. I mean, like, we came to the accordion, like, the accordion drew us in, you know, like, and it became, like, the center of our music for a long time. With the accordion, you have, you can do the Tex-Mex music, and you can also do, you know, the music from South Louisiana, and so that's, through that music is where, you know, with, like, the Zydeco and stuff, where the blues element comes in, that's where more or less the rock and roll snuck in that way, you know.
Why did you name the band Los Lobos?
Well, it started off kind of like as a joke, because in the Southwest, there's a lot of bands that just call themselves, you know, a lot of different names. And there was a band called Los Lobos del Norte, which means the Wolves of the North, which were, you know, kind of like a popular norteño, Tex-Mex group. And as just for that's a joke, like always, we kind of, you know, we laugh through life is our kind of policy here. So we were kidding around about a name, We call ourselves Los Lobos del Este, with Wolves from the East. So we were from East LA, so that we just kept that for a long time. And we just shed the last part of the name, just kept Los Lobos.
Luis Perez and Devin Hidalgo are my guests of the group Los Lobos. I guess the best known record that you made was La Bamba, from the movie of the same name about Ritchie Valens. And I was wondering if Ritchie Valens was someone who was important to you when you were growing up, if you liked his records.
Yeah, well, the music was around. I don't think we realized, you know, who he was or what he actually meant to Mexican Americans. Back when we were kids, we just heard it at every wedding that we ever went to, you know. But I guess in the late 70s, we started getting into his music, you know, and trying to find out anything about him that we could, you know. And he was a role model, you know, to a lot of Mexican-American musicians, or Latinos, I guess.
David, you did the voice for the record, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you try to do anything to get the Ritchie Valens voice?
Well, we a couple of songs there, we sped up the tape a little bit to
oh, really?
Knock off a few years. You know? And well, it was hard. There was a few things, like, especially the ballads, because he was a great ballad singer. He had this this whisper, you know, like the way he sang Donna. That was hard to get close to, you know. But I learned something from it, you know.
What'd you learn?
That he was a great singer. No, he really was a good singer, you know, trying to get close to his stuff. But I don't know, on Donna, he does this whisper that it kind of reminds me of Stan Getz, you know, that.
Oh, yeah.
Where you hear the note, but you hear the air coming out mm-hmm, through, with mm-hmm. it, you know, like this, whoosh, it's pretty wild. Trying to interpret his songs, you know, I just realized that, you know, how talented he was.
Did you listen to the records over and over and over again?
Yeah, at first, when we started to record. Some of the things we had a little more freedom with, like the songs that were lesser known. But like something like Donna, we were like, you know, racking our brains, trying to figure out how they recorded this, you know. And
we
had to research it again.
You had all this money and high technology to get the sound of a really cheap record, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the hard part.
That was the hardest.
To get it sound like a cheap recording, you know.
And drag the mics around the parking lot for a while, and to just try to approach a recording technique or something that would give you that sort of those results, you know, the old time sound.
Louis, what did you have to do for the drums to get the sound you wanted?
Well, he was talking about Donna. You know, we stacked cymbals on top of each other, just get them to sound old and cheap, and that one evening we recorded Donna. It was scary. We got into this kind of one thing, and there was just this one take that was just absolutely just frightening. That the way it was just so ghostly and so just so close to the feel of the original track that, you know, we all just called it a night and went home.
What effect did it have on you to have a big hit like La Bamba? I imagine it brought out new people who had different expectations of you than your previous audiences had.
Or no knowledge of our existence before that.
You know?
Fortunately, we had a few records before that, so we were able to kind of justify, you know, who we were, that there was really more to us than what, I guess, ultimately just came off as, you know, kind of commercial hit or something, you know. So the audience changed a great deal. We had a bunch of young kids, you know, coming to the shows, and you know, the parents bringing along these, you know, real, you know, children, and that was kind of neat, you know, just to see kids and have them come back and ask for autographs and that sort of thing. But it took a while for us to realize what was going on.
Why don't we listen to the Los Lobos recording of Donna?
Cause I love my girl.
My guests are David Hidalgo and Luis Perez of Los Lobos. Is it any coincidence that you did your most Mexican record after La Bamba?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a good one. For us, I think it was reaffirming our roots. Our other records followed this natural sort of progression, and then this record came along, which, you know, was we considered to be kind of outside of our just normal, you know, artistic growth. So to get back on track, it seemed that it was almost like a reaction to this, our way of responding to successes, to just dig deeper into to what we were all about. So it was also a timely thing. We were just about to celebrate our 15th anniversary together, so it was justified as our, you know, 15th anniversary record. At the same time, it did help us out to kind of recognize the music that really got us started, and to almost like a responsible way to react to success, because, you know, that was a period when everybody was looking at us. And it gave us, the make this artistic statement, almost political statement, where we played Mexican music that was so exotic that some of this regional music had never been even heard by a lot of people living in the United States, let alone different parts of the world. So we were able to take success and use it in a way that we could, serve up this ethnic, you know, platter of different musics to the rest of the world. And at the same time, it created a little bit of a buffer between La Bamba and our next rock record, so it gave us a little breathing spot.
Well, I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
Yeah, it's
nice. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for inviting us.
Luis Perez and David Hidalgo of the band Los Lobos. Their new album, The Neighborhood, is about to come out. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.